Thank you, choir, and thank you to our guest pianist, Linda, for being here today, for gracing us with the beauty of the gifts God has given you. Well, my prayer has been that God would speak through me even through a head cold, which is drying up, I hope. Well, in this section from Matthew 6 that we're going to read, it is familiar to a lot of people. It's Jesus' words about wealth and about worry. And familiar or not, this is one of those parts of the Scripture that is really hard to live by. It comes in two parts. The first part is this. Don't store up treasures in material ways. They don't last. Plus, they can easily become the god you serve. You cannot serve both your money and possessions and God. The second part is this. Don't worry so much. Don't be so anxious. What good does worrying do for you? Instead, in every situation, train your focus on God, on God's kingdom, on first things first. Keep those first. These are challenging words. Don't accumulate. And don't worry. Don't become stressed about what you have or don't have, about how life is going or is not going for you. Instead, focus on God and God's kingdom. Keep first things first. So let's hear the text. Matthew 6, beginning at verse 25. Jesus said, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about your clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. When I was just starting out as a pastor, still trying to figure out what it means to be a pastor and how to manage my days, there came a point of really high stress and worry. It all seemed so much beyond me. I'm not equipped. I don't know how to do this. I don't know what's coming next. I'm not ready for this. I was swimming in it and getting wrapped tighter and tighter in all the pressures and demands. And one day there was an afternoon meeting across town with a few other pastors, and I really needed that meeting. I needed to be with them and to gain wisdom and just to reflect with them. So I arranged that day as best I could with this plan in mind, that I would leave my office with plenty of time, drive across town to a park I knew about, and I'd have about an hour just to park in the park and just pray, just to get re-centered in prayer. But then came a few long phone calls, and people stopped by, and pastoral details began to mound up. And my departure time got pushed a little bit later, and then finally I left. But then there was traffic, of course, and then there was an accident, and I got further and further behind, so I pulled off the highway and I began going through neighborhoods. And then, of course, it's Minnesota. I ran into construction. And then every light turned red. And so I did what every reasonable, thoughtful person does in a situation like that. I drove faster. I white-knuckled the steering wheel, watching the time, watching this plan slipping away. My great plan of just getting to this park to stop and rest and pray, it was slipping by me. But I stayed on it. Finally, the traffic opened up. This is in South Minneapolis. It opened up. And I dashed across that last mile, and as I came into the parking lot, here's what I remember most. I slid to a stop across the gravel, and then I stayed there, the engine hot and still ticking, to pray. And what I said to myself, I remember this so very clearly, is, what are you doing? Are you crazy? You're driving like a madman through town, all to get to this place to pray. Stupid. I'll tell you my prayer, and I went to that meeting late. My prayer was not some sort of deep breathing thankfulness to God and reflecting on the breath of life. My prayer was more like this deep furrowed, help. I am so lost in this. I'm unmoored. Help. I was worried. I was stressed. I was anxious. I was going way too fast. And I think it's safe to say that you know exactly what I'm talking about, right? I've grown some since then. But I still find myself there way too often. I bet you do too. The section we're looking at today has two parts to it. Part one is about wealth and possessions and cautionary words about not letting them get control over us because they can become our gods. And part two is about worry and anxiety, Jesus' words about seeking the kingdom first above everything else, not being anxious. But these two parts are completely interwoven, aren't they? Because possessions and money, having them or needing more of them, we get stressed and anxious about these things. Plus, we live in a world that's on constant high alert. We live in a world that's on pins and needles with anxiety and fear. Every single day, there are things that flash like a bright billboard sign saying, be afraid of this. Here's something to get your jaws clenched. Think about this one as you're trying to go to sleep tonight. Worry and fear across the board. And even though these two sections are divided to part one and part two, and they are so interwoven, I'm going to redivide them in a different way into two other parts. Part one is about us. Part two is about us and others. Part one is what I've already been talking about the fact that you and I can slip into stress and anxiety as quickly as I went sliding into that parking lot to pray. And that's not a new thing. This is a human condition that goes all the way back. We live in a fearful, fallen world where hard things and bad things and anxiety-producing things come at us all the time. We also live in a world where there's a lot of things to get done. Needed things, from our jobs to raising children to obligations we have, and on it goes. And all of it combined can sometimes, maybe oftentimes, lead to a sort of wobble in our lives, right? A sort of wobble, an imbalance between doing and being. When we're doing so much and so constantly that our sense of being gets swallowed up. By our sense of being, I mean who we are apart from all the doing. When our sense of being gets swallowed up by doing, we can get this wobble and this imbalance, and we can quickly, easily get way off track. And here's where Jesus' concluding words in this section can come home to us. What he said about seeking God's first things first. Because in God's kingdom, here's who you are. Here's who I am. We are known to the deepest core of who we are. And we are loved, even despite everything. We are loved. We are loved with a pursuing love by our God who already knows what we most need. We are loved by our God who says, "Trust me, I am with you, and I provide. Come what may come." We are loved by God in the way that David put it in that prayer we heard earlier from Psalm 37. "Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him." Now this does not mean, you need to be clear about this. This does not mean that no sorrow or pain will come to our lives. That our lives will somehow be exempt from the hard and awful things. That'd be wonderful, but that's not life, how life is. Years ago, I was imprinted by a statement something like this. When you talk about your faith, be sure that what you say would make sense to somebody who's dying or who's in deep pain. Because if it doesn't, then it's not very deep. And when you're in that place, it won't hold. But this holds. We are known to the deepest core of who we are. And we are loved. We are loved by our God who says, "Trust me, I am with you, come what may come." That's the story of Jesus. "I am with you always," he said, "to the very end of the age. I have named you as my own. I have forgiven you. I have redeemed you. And I'm calling you out to be with me as my own. I love you. Trust me." During a bleak and painful time, some words from Prophet Isaiah stood out boldly for both Sid and me. Words which, like all of Isaiah, point ahead toward Jesus. Through Isaiah, God said, "Do not be afraid. I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you walk through the waters, I will be with you. When you walk through the fires, you will not be burned because you are precious. You are precious and honored in my sight. You are mine." We are known to the deepest core of who we are, and we are loved. We are loved with a pursuing love by our God who already knows our deepest needs. We are loved by our God who says, "Trust me, I am with you, come what may come." And Jesus says, "Now, live this way. Live by this. Live differently than the rest of the world who doesn't know me. Don't get spun up about getting and having or not getting or not having. People who don't know me live like that. Instead, let your life soak in and absorb what I am doing and what I bring and who I am and who I call you to be. Because that's my kingdom." That's part one. Jesus' words to us as his followers. Live this way. Let your light shine, be salt and light. Absorb this truth and live it. And that's our homework as his followers every day. It's our homework today. It's our assignment for this afternoon. Even as we get battered by all the anxiety-producing things that come at us day by day, worrisome things that end up right at our doorstep or in our checkbook or in our homes or middle-of-the-night wanderings around, Jesus says, "I love you. I know you. I am with you, and I provide." And here's part two. It's a question. What do others see in us? What do they hear from us? What do they observe about us? In particular, think of people who don't know Jesus Christ, who don't know about the kingdom of God. Do they see something different in us? I mean, really? Do they see Jesus making an actual difference in our lives? Do they pick up attitudes from us that are more a mirror of Jesus than they are of talk radio? What about worry and stress? Remember Jesus' words about, don't worry about your life. Aren't you more valuable to God than the birds and the flowers? Look how God takes care of them. He takes care of you too. How are we doing with that? And what do others hear and see? What do they observe? I'm raising this because central to our life in Christ is others. It's not just Jesus and me where we kind of say, okay, I'm good. I'm on the right path. I'm just going to keep getting nourished and living on this path. As important as that is to keep getting nourished and going deeper, it's got to have that outward focus. What we call bearing witness to others. We need to use our words to let people know about the hope that we found in Jesus Christ as our Savior, forgiving us and redeeming us, changing our lives. We need to use our words. We really do. But we also need to use our lives, letting others know that He is also our Lord. He is our Savior, but He's also our Lord, meaning that all that we have and all that we are, that all of it, including our worries and our stresses, our possessions and our finances, that everything about us belongs to Him as our Lord, Savior and Lord. And I'm in this with you, because I've got a lot to grow into. There are things that sift into my mind and heart like dust through a windowsill. I don't see it coming in, but it accumulates. And I can go right down that very path of getting spun up and stretched thin and stressed out with an attitude, even subconsciously, that it's really all up to me. That God is out there somewhere, but this thing or this array of things, these are up to me. And what that is not really trusting God. That's trusting me. And when I'm in that posture, here are the warning signs that I begin to pick up. Maybe these are warning signs for you too. When I'm in that posture of thinking it's all up to me, that yes, I still believe in God, but God is not really involved in this one, my prayer life gets drier and more perfunctory. Scripture becomes a little more inaccessible, a little harder to tune into, and my sense of hope for the world, it gets thinner, hinging more on secular than sacred. And that's not a good place to be. And that's a bad place for giving anybody a kind of witness, a genuine witness about Christ at work in me. And when I pick up on those warning signs, I've just got to stop. I've just got to stop and lay it all down like I did in that parking lot that day where I just said, Lord, help, I'm lost in this. Part two of this text is, as I'm reading it, is all about our witness to others. What are they seeing in us? What are they hearing from us? What do they observe in our lives? Deep and real trust in God as our Savior, Jesus as our Savior and our Lord? Or is it something that's drier and more perfunctory and not really all that full of hope? Well, we're going to be invited to the table in a few moments to take time in this sacred meal, the Lord's Supper, and to be invited to the kneeling rail for anointing with oil for healing. And this encompasses the core story of Jesus, that He came to bring life, and He died giving up His life for our lives, to forgive us and redeem us and give us new life in this kingdom. Released from the old ways of this world into new life, free life in Him. So I want to invite you, whether you come forward to receive the bread and the cup or go to the kneeling rail, or whether today you realize, maybe I just better stay here and do business with God, whatever it might be. I want to invite you to invite Jesus. I want to encourage you to invite Jesus into that very center spot of you, your heart. your mind. Maybe you've done this before. Maybe you've been a follower for decades. Or maybe it's all brand new. Wherever we are on the spectrum, we need this. Invite him into the very center. Today. With your worries, your fears, your anxieties, your hopes, your dreams. With your tiredness or weariness. How you handle money, your possessions, the whole shot. Invite Jesus into that center spot to speak to you and to do something new. But it's not just for you. Hear me on this. It's not just for you. It's also to invite him to do something new in you with others, with this world around us. Through your actions, through your posture, through your words, through your priorities, that other people may see that he's making a real difference in your life. And maybe by God's grace, come to know him through you. Well, in this world and in this time that is so overladen with anxiety and fear, by God's grace, through Jesus Christ, he can make a powerful difference through every single one of us. So I'll close with these words, words we often use for benediction. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all that we can ask or imagine, according to his power that's at work within us, to him be glory in the church, in the church, and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, including this very one today. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that your word will continue to speak. And for any of us for whom we have gotten stressed and weary and worn out and spun up enough that we are not dialed into your word, we're not attentive to your presence, that our prayers are more rote, if at all, move in fresh and powerful ways here this morning. And this afternoon, and this evening, and in all the days ahead, that we truly would be your kingdom people, that we would have really good news to bring into the dark, stressed news of this world. We commit ourselves in your hands and pray that you would move to that very center spot of who we are, our hearts and our minds. We pray this all in your holy and precious name. Amen.